Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome to Barbecue Nation After Hours. I'm JT here from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, and this is the part of the show that didn't make the over-the-air broadcast, not because the FCC said we couldn't. It's just because I came up with some more questions and wanted to ask them. And today we've got Darren Wilson. We're talking about sous vide, Darren's website, and he's got a Facebook group, and maybe you might want to join that. You'd have to find out at fireandwatercooking.com. So what about game animals? You know, game animals, I haven't done it much in the last couple of years because I've been too busy, but I hunt, I fish, I do that stuff. And, you know, venison is not overly marbled. Elk is not overly marbled. I don't hunt bears or anything like that because they are pretty greasy. And besides that, I don't have any interest in harvesting one of those. But like ducks, geese, pheasant, have you done any of those? And what's your experience like there?
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine that his name is Justice Stewart. He's a chef out of, he's around the New York City area. And he's actually got a book out on Amazon, a sous vide book, Justice Stewart. He does a lot of game meats. That's one of his things that he loves to do. He does kangaroo and elk and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You can treat that like, you know, elk or deer, since it's very lean, like you said, it's not very marbled. One of the things I really like to do, sous vide, and my wife likes, one of the favorite things I do is London broil or top round on the beef side.
Sure.
Which is kind of similar to your venison and elk because it's very lean, very tough usually. And you can cook that for, you know, 131 degrees for 36 hours, 48 hours, and make it very medium rare and very tender. So sous vide works really well with that type of meat. Anything that's really tough, really, you know, doesn't have a lot of fat to it because of the fact that you're cooking it for that long period of time at an exact temperature, it breaks down the proteins, that tough meat fibers, you know, the muscles, the tendons, all that kind of stuff. The long period of time with that heat being applied at the exact temperature breaks that down, and you don't have to, you know, cook it well done. So it works really good for any type of game meat like that. Now duck, you know, that's very fatty, but it also works really well because anything that you want to cook to an exact temperature, let's say you want your duck breast medium rare, I mean, you cook it in that sous vide to you know, the medium rare temperature, and you can leave it in there for several hours. It's not going to overcook. You take it out and you just take a really hot cast iron pan with a little bit of oil. You put it down, you know, face down on the skin to get it nice and crispy, and you're done. So it works real well, pretty much with any kind of protein. It works well, but it works well with vegetables and stuff too. So,
well, Darren, would it be, I was going to talk about vegetables in a minute here. Would it be safe to say that doing it the sous vide method could help a tough, crappy piece of meat be at least tender? And I say that with a bit tongue in cheek, but you know, if you did, let's just talk about beef for a second, you know, the different grades of beef, and some people go and they'll buy even like a chuck roast, and by definition, a chuck roast should have some fat and stuff in it, and it should be fairly tender if it's cooked properly. But if you're buying a, select or standard grade of those. I mean, that's kind of, I always make fun of it and say it's institutional food. But in a situation like that with sous vide, you could actually break it down, and with enough seasoning, you can probably make something taste fairly well. I've done that in my past. But, you know, sometimes people get those cuts of meat because whatever reason, they're on sale, they're, you know, holiday specials, what have you. So to me, this sounds like it's a good idea to be able to do this and to have the wherewithal to prepare food like this, especially if you're, you know, sometimes on a limited budget and you can't afford to, you know, $17.99 a pound T-bones.
Well, and that's, like I said, with, you know, Top Round, my wife, you can get it for $2.99 a pound.
Right.
And to her, I can make it to where it's as tender as a filet and tastes very similar. So she loves it. And she doesn't like the high fatty stuff like a ribeye or something, you know. So
right.
I make that for her because that's what she likes. And it can come out where it's pork tender. Same with a chuck roast. I have a chuck roast in that I put in yesterday that's going to be for dinner tonight. And, you know, it's the same thing. I can make that into not exactly like a ribeye, but pretty close, because I can get it to a nice medium rare temperature, nice and tender. You know, it'll have a couple, you know, probably a couple little pieces of stringy here and there, but where the cartilage is. But still, overall, you can make those cheaper cuts. Eye of round is another one, or bottom round roast.
Yeah.
Where normally you got to cook it, you know, for a long time, where you got to cut it really, really thin, you know, to be able to chew it. But sous vide lets you, you know, cook that. It's that longer time at that lower temperature that's going to let it tenderize a lot more. So you can actually make it medium rare and nice and fork tender. So yeah, it works really well for that stuff. A lot of people, like I said, they associate sous vide with like just steaks or chicken breast or pork chops.
Right.
You know, where it's a quick two or three hour cook. But it really works better when you use it on these really cheap, tougher pieces of meat that you can take. Like you said, you're on a budget, you know, you can only afford $2.99 a pound. So you load up your freezer full of that stuff, and now you're eating like a king because you can turn around and make it, you know, pretty similar to what you would, you know, a filet or a sirloin steak or something like that.
Well, absolutely. And if you do that, and you, sounds like if you use the sous vide method, yeah, people over to dinner, they're going to think you're the next top chef in the country, because, you know, if they recognize the cut of meat, which a lot of times people don't, but if they did, they would know that you did something miraculous here. Now, vegetables, we didn't talk about that in the regular show, but the, you know, it has been a big thing, especially over the last 10 or so years, about, you know, grilling vegetables and doing this, you know, and whether you put olive oil on your bell peppers to grill them or you don't, or you season them or you don't prior to, you know, whatever. And that's everybody's own personal preference as far as I'm concerned. How would cooking vegetables benefit by using the sous vide method?
Well, one of the things is you got to remember that, you know, vegetable is different than a meat protein, because you can't cook green beans at 131 degrees, they won't get cooked, you know, or a potato.
Right.
You can't cook a potato at 131 degrees. No matter how long it sits in the water that way, it won't cook, because, you know, they got a different cell structure. So you got to cook those at a higher temperature. And usually it's about 185 to 190 degrees is the sweet spot for vegetables. But one of the benefits is you put them in your bag, your Ziploc or your vacuum sealer bag, you're not immersing them in boiling water or, you know, semi-boiling water. You know, you're actually, they're cooking, but they're in a bag. So they're actually getting that benefit of, you're not washing away all their nutrients and, you know, boiling all the flavor out of them. You're actually cooking them in that bag, and you're cooking them still at a precise temperature. So you're not putting them over 212 degrees when you're boiling them. And getting them really, really hot and get them all, you know, so that they're mushy or any of that. So
right.
You can actually cook them to an exact temperature, not boil all the, you know, nutrients and flavor out of them, and they come out great. The color is more vibrant. I like doing mashed potatoes in a bag, where I cut up, you know, potatoes. I put the butter, sour cream, salt and pepper, all in the Ziploc bag, or the vacuum sealer bag, put it at 190 degrees in there for about an hour, take them out. I can just smash the mashed potatoes in the bag before I just pipe it out like it was some kind of,
pastry filling or something.
Yeah, pastry filling or something, because, you know, you can make it all in that one bag and you just, you know, mush it all up and mix your sour cream and butter and salt and pepper and everything in there, and it comes out great. And again, you're not, you know, boiling all the flavor out of the potatoes by, you know, putting it in.
It sounds like, too, you could still keep your fibrous vegetables crisp. You know, carrots, exactly. For example, or peppers or anything like that. You could still keep them crisp. One thing that I just dislike totally, unless you're talking about mashed potatoes, I don't like vegetables that don't have a crunch to them. Even my green beans, they don't have to. I don't like them totally droopy, and I don't like them, so stiff they're still raw. If you follow me, and the same with like asparagus. I cook my asparagus fairly quickly, and I've got my own way of doing it, and that's fine, and people seem to like it. But I still like to get a little crunch when I bite into them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Meathead uses as an example. He uses it for everything. When you're cooking sous vide, or when you're cooking normally, you're on a train, and you're trying to get off at the station while the train's still moving. It's hard to do because the train's going 100 miles an hour and everything else is stopped. And if you try to hit exactly at the station and jump off, you know, you're going to be tumbling down. So that's like overcooking. And that's what you do when you're cooking anything, when you're using, boiling or steaming. You're cooking at a higher temperature than you want the actual finished product to be. You're trying to take that product out before it goes past the, where you're trying to hit that temperature. But with sous vide, you're right at that temperature. If you want your crisp vegetables, you know, at 185 degrees, they're going to be nice and crisp. They're not going to overcook in that, sous vide bath. It gets to 185, it stays there. You can leave them in there for 2 hours and take them out, and it's still going to be crisp. So, that's one of the beauty things with it. It's an exact temperature. You're not trying to hit that perfect temperature, of the vegetables while you're cooking it at a higher temperature and trying to nail that. It's like trying to hit a moving target,
Right.
A lot easier to hit a target that's standing still than a moving target. So,
well, Darren, one more thing. If there's something you haven't cooked yet that's maybe a little abstract that you want to give a shot to, what's it going to be?
I got a few things that I'm working on right now for some videos. I'm trying some, different kinds of poultry that I've never cooked before, like quail and stuff like that, where it's a little bit more, I would say it's a little harder to, nail it just right. They're a little bit fragile. So
yeah, they are.
Other things that there's some things like that, and like you said, some exotic meats I haven't never tried before that I know come out really well, using sous vide. So I have there's a meat market not too far from where I live that they get a lot of game meats and exotic stuff. So one of these days I'm going to go there and just pick a few. Right now I got some Wagyu and some Japanese A5 Wagyu and some domestic 100% Wagyu steaks from an online source that I'm going to do some cooks on. I've never had before, so because that gets kind of expensive. But
excuse me. Well, I'll tell you what, you talked a few minutes ago about your friend, your chef in New York, and you said he does kangaroo. I've been to Australia a number of times. If you can make that chewy, stringy crap taste good, I'm down with it. That's the only thing I can say.
I've never had it, but I know, like I said, he loves to do that kind of stuff. That's one of his specialties, is all kinds of different exotic meats, ostrich, emu, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's all good. Darren Wilson, sorry. I was thinking of Dennis Wilson from Dennis the Menace. Yeah. Thanks for being with us today. And again, tell people how they can find you online and through social media.
The best place is to go to my website, fireandwater.com. And that's my main website that has my links to my YouTube channel videos. It has my podcast on there, my blog. Facebook, I have a Facebook page, which is Fire and Water Cooking, and then also a Facebook group, so they can join the Facebook group through the Facebook page or directly. We pretty much, anybody that wants to learn about mixing sous vide and barbecue together, but I also have Instagram and all that. But I would say the Facebook group is the most interactive. We have a lot, like I said, we have over 7,500 people in there now, and they're all, there's experts in there. There's newbies in there. It's a good mix. Lots of interaction. It's a place to go if you want to learn how to mix sous vide and barbecue together, or if you just want to learn about sous vide and what it can do, or even just barbecue. So
there you go. Darren, I appreciate it. We'll have you back on the show one of these days. It was an interesting discussion, and I appreciate your time.
Well, JT, I want to thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and I'll gladly come back on anytime you want me.
You got it. We're going to get out of here. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Or I guess I got to come up with something now for sous vide, like boil it, don't doil it or something. But I'll work on that in the off hours. Anyway, check out Darren's website. We'll be back next week with another After Hours. And everybody, get some cook time in. Take care.